Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Eric Kane from VolQuest with us coming up at 7:30. We'll get into the latest in the transfer portal with Tennessee. The Rob Rant coming up later this hour at 7:45. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Nashville Predators back in action tonight. They will take on Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers. Joe, it's an important time of the year here for the Preds in terms of it's time to start thinking about, you know, what sort of decisions are you going to make if you're Barry Trotzer. I mean, the Predators have climbed back into the wild card race. At the moment, they are 2 points out of the final wild card spot in the Western Conference. They have basically, I believe this is right, yeah, they have alternated wins and losses for the last seven games. So win one, lose one, win one, lose one. That's what they've done the last seven games here. They took on Edmonton last week in Edmonton. It did not go well. They lost 6-2. And Joe, as we know, it's been a pretty difficult matchup for the Predators over the past few years with Draisaitl and McDavid and the problems that those guys create. So Edmonton did play last night. They got a win against Chicago, so they will be on the second half of a back-to-back tonight. So you were off yesterday if you're the Predators, so I guess you get that advantage. But Predators will have their hands full tonight. They got Edmonton at home tonight, Joe. They got Colorado on the road Friday, which has not been a friendly place for people to play this year. They got Vegas on the road Saturday. So this is a pretty crucial week for the Predators in terms of if you're going to stay in the wild card race, you're going to have to beat some good teams this week. Because, I mean, you get through this week, all of a sudden you're in the back half of January. February comes around and you barely play. You've got three games the first week of February, and then you're off for basically the rest of the month for the Olympic break. And then after that, trade deadline is going to be around the corner. So, Joe, I know the calendar, you look at it and you're like, well, there's still plenty of time between now and the NHL trading deadline. From, like, the games that are left, there's really not. So it's time to really start thinking about the direction you're going here if you're Barry Trotz.
Yeah, and it's like they're playing well, and then they'll have a result, you know, like the Chicago game. And you're like, okay, let's. But then, you know, you beat Washington the next day. So, like, overall, the trend is positive, and obviously they've gotten themselves to a point where I don't know about you. I didn't think we'd even be getting to this, talking about this, you know, in the first few weeks of the season. But yeah, that's a great thing for people to keep in mind is the games are about to end for a long time. The schedule has been super condensed, and so it really is closer than the calendar would suggest. And but I also feel like, Robbie, it's sort of like, again, I have no idea of how Barry Trotz is thinking about it, but it's like you're plugging away, you're doing the best you can. Again, all credit due to these guys, to Andrew Burnett and his staff and these veterans for hanging in there. When you've seen some young players making some strides, like there's some good things happening. But I guess it just comes down to, like, or at least I think it should, just come down to what kinds of offers people are throwing at you. And as you've talked about a lot, you know, Ryan O'Reilly is in particular, like, I think someone that there's going to be some contenders who are very interested. And then just assessing it based on the return and not, you know, I would hope that it would just be purely like, okay, is this too good to pass up or not? And not, I can't do this to this team. That's what I would hope. I don't know if you know how he's viewing it.
Well, and it's been interesting too, because, you know, Doug Armstrong, who is the general manager for the St. Louis Blues. Now, in fairness, you know, the Blues are 4 points behind the Predators. So the Blues are almost at the bottom. I mean, Vancouver's at the bottom of the Western Conference, and then it's Winnipeg, and then it's St. Louis. So, I mean, the Blues, by the math, are probably not getting into playoffs. I understand that. But the reporting around them is basically like, yeah, I mean, we're still not out of the wild card race, but they don't feel great about beating Colorado in the first round, so they're just going to act like they're selling at the deadline.
Yeah,
like, you know?
Yeah.
And look, I understand some fans would hear that, and I've seen some Blues fans hear that, and they're like, really? So that's your approach? It's like, well, we're scared to death of Colorado, so we're just not even going to try by the time the playoffs come around. You know, it is the Stanley Cup playoffs. We have seen, I mean, it was just a few years ago, Joe, where Boston ran through the league, right? And they just destroyed everybody all regular season long, and then they got beat by Florida in the first round. Now, as it turns out, that Florida team ended up being pretty good, and we have seen kind of the results of that ever since then. But it can happen in this league. But if you're the Predators, Barry Trotz has really got to think about that. At this point, if you're making the playoffs, if you're the Predators, it's going to be one of the wild card spots. I mean, we've talked about Colorado. You're definitely not catching them. You're not catching Dallas. And even the third place team in the Central right now is Minnesota. And they're at 61 points, which means they're 15 points ahead of you. You ain't catching the Wild either. So if you're making the playoffs, it's going to be in the wild card. And it's not impossible to get the first wild card spot, and which would mean you're taking on the Pacific Division winner, which right now would be Vegas. Joe, I got a feeling the Pacific Division winner at the end of it is probably going to end up being Edmonton. So it's going to be, if you make the playoffs, Joe, in all likelihood, you're taking on either Colorado in the first round or Edmonton in the first round. And what do you think about your chances in that? And I think you got to have a little bit of that conversation with yourself too, if you're Barry Trotz.
Maybe Leon Draisaitl should keep himself to 2 goals tonight, help the Preds win so that he gets to play them in a playoff series. Can you imagine what his numbers would be in a playoff series against the Preds?
No,
my goodness.
I mean, it'd probably be 4 games, but no.
Well, yeah, but still, it's like, what, 14 goals?
It's
right. It's just not, you know, it's not like, I know some Preds fans are like, yeah, I wish Trotz would say that. I get, like, Blues fans not liking that. I personally like it. You know, I think it's refreshing. But it is also, it's like, you also hear a lot from GMs like, anything can happen in this tournament. I mean, and they're right. Like, you can find plenty of examples. But also, I hate hearing that too, because it's like, if that's your strategy of just like basically hope,
right?
You know, I don't want to hear that out loud either. But I mean, Trotz is, again, it's like, look, things are going well, and you have to hang with it. I don't know if the guys in the locker room, like, I've, you know, whatever, Yossi at one point said something about getting more players, didn't he? You know, yeah. Like, I don't know if guys in the locker room really think that that's on the table, realistically, but certainly, like, if I mean, they have to be thinking, you know, if we keep this up and even ratchet it up, maybe we can at least stay together and have a chance to see this through. But I don't know, man. That's where it just gets into, like, are you hurting yourself? Are you passing up a big opportunity, by not trading O'Reilly? At the same time, you know, it's like they're so weak down the middle, and he's whatever you're looking like next year. I mean, do you not want him around? Yeah, I don't know. It's got to be a pretty sweet deal. It's not just like you're automatically planning to do it.
Well, I think it will be a pretty sweet deal. Like, he's 38 points in 45 games, plus, you know, all the other stuff that he does on the defensive side, the penalty kill, the face-offs, like, people, if the Predators make him available, there will be teams falling all over themselves trying to get Ryan O'Reilly at the trading deadline. And part of it's the position he plays too, right? Like, center, like, it's hard to make impactful center ice deals in this league. So to me, like, that's where you got to make your decision. Like, if you feel like you're on the cusp of actually competing for something, and I'm talking deep in the playoffs, which is hard to get there right now, then you probably keep O'Reilly. If you don't feel that way, I think the return could end up being so beneficial for you that you almost owe it to yourself to go down that route. Like, O'Reilly, I think, is pretty, you know, I say it's easy. It's not, because they love Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly loves it here. He's a huge part of that locker room. I get it. So it's not easy, but you're going to get a massive return for Ryan O'Reilly. Like, it's not, I don't think it's hoping to, you're going to get one. Like, you're going to get a massive return for Ryan O'Reilly. What's interesting now is, like, the way that Stamkos has played, like, I think he's probably played well enough recently where people may be around the league a little less worried about taking on that full contract. Now, I don't know how many teams can do that, but are you, if you're Barry Trotz, do you look at him and say, well, let's go ahead and strike while the iron's hot? Or do you look at him and say, you know, as we continue to build here, we'd really like him to be around over the next couple years? Because keep in mind, he's got two more years after this one left on his contract.
Right. See, it's surprising for me to see, Texter says, I trust Stamkos, O'Reilly, Forsberg in the playoffs. What if we make a run? I know it's important to talk about the future, but as a fan, I'm not ready to sell. Keith says, the city hasn't had much to be excited about with professional sports. Please give me some playoff hockey. I mean, that. I guess I don't know how much of the fan base feels that way. You go to the arena, people want to root on the Preds. They're playing well now. They're competitive. Of course, you'd like the idea. The front, you know, as we talked about, the front office, do they like the idea of even having one playoff hockey series? Yeah. But again, it's just like, you know, you just, how much of this can you endure of being this kind of fringe team?
Yep.
You know, and if you're right that the return is going to be big, and then, you know, then I think Barry Trotz has to disappoint all those people and disappoint all the people in the locker room, which can't be easy. But well, I think he has to do
it. It's not easy, but that's his job, right? Like, his job is to make the best decision for the franchise. And I understand that that's a subjective thing, but you would have a hard time convincing me that a first-round exit, even if it's, you know, it's exciting, that would mean they're playing good hockey down the stretch, all those things. You would have a hard time convincing me that a first-round exit against Colorado or Edmonton would outweigh what I think would be pretty darn big return for Ryan O'Reilly.
Craig says, getting those young guys a playoff experience, even if it's only one round, what's the value?
Well, I mean, the guys that we just talked about, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Stamkos, you know, Marchessault when he comes back, how many young guys are getting playoff experience? I mean, I guess my question is, like, does Luke Evangelista count as a young guy anymore? This is like his third year here.
Well, he's been in the playoffs,
He's been in the playoffs. Like, does, you know, Svechkov right now, I don't know, like, if Svechkov keeps playing the way he's playing, he's probably going back to Milwaukee. So, like, is he getting playoff experience? That's my point. Like, Matthew Wood's been in and out of the lineup lately. So, again, you look down the lineup right now, there's not a whole lot of young guys out there impacting things at the moment.
Yeah, I think this is a great example of the term rip the Band-Aid off, you know. And the Preds, again, to the Preds' credit, they've even made it a discussion.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think the conclusion's any different.
I don't think so. I mean, look, again, you know, Matt Wood has gotten back in there the last couple of games. It kind of looked like he probably needed a reset. You know, they have some defensemen that are playing okay right now. But, like, again, your defense core is Josi, Haig, Perbix, like, all guys that have been around the league for a while now. I mean, Blankenberg has played well for them this year, but, you know, he's not a young guy. So, like, I understand the idea, the thought process of wanting to get young guys playoff experience. They just ain't got a whole lot of young guys right now, which we've talked about a lot. They're in that blend, and, you know, the blend just right now, with you have so many veterans occupying spots, there's just not a lot of young guys. And that would also mean, I would assume, and if you're not selling at the deadline, including O'Reilly, it means you're probably not selling with guys like Halla and guys like Bunting, who are on expiring deals too, and they're occupying spots in your lineup right now. So, long-term health of the franchise, I think you'd have a hard time convincing me that it wouldn't be better off selling.
Yeah, I think it's the clear path. So, What's the return? We don't know. So that is, I mean, I suspect you're right. You got to see it first, but if it's worthwhile, then I think it's bordering on malpractice to not do it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Preds. Plus, an arch nemesis of Tennessee strikes again. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have Eric Kane from VolQuest coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:30. Joe, the latest on the Sam Leavitt front. So Sam Leavitt visited Tennessee last week. He's been all over the place. I think he was going down to Miami. Lane Kiffin flew to Knoxville and apparently tried to meet with Sam Leavitt and did. And there were reports that he had committed to LSU and Lane Kiffin, that no paperwork had been signed. Tennessee was still in the race trying to get it done, and that there was a race there. I mean, the Joey Aguilar situation's still out there too, but it doesn't look like there's going to be any resolution on that anytime in the immediate near future. So that's kind of floating in the background, all this too. So you got apparently a commitment to LSU from Sam Leavitt, but Tennessee and Miami and others still trying to close it in with Leavitt as well. So what do you make of Leavitt and Lane Kiffin swooping in there? And if it ends up playing out that way where he's just gone and he's going to LSU, I mean, what does Tennessee do at quarterback at that point?
Well, so now Bo Pribula went to Virginia, right?
Yep.
It's not great, man. I understand there's a lot of factors that go into these decisions. But if you're Sam Leavitt and everyone has like these pictures of you at the basketball game while Damon Williams is announcing that he's leaving Washington, and it's very quite clear at this point that he was going to go to LSU. How do you, if you're Sam Leavitt, how do you go back to Kiffin? Now, again, Kiffin comes up to Knoxville. I know Kiffin knows the Knoxville bars well, so you know, I'm sure he took him to a cool place or whatever. I just don't understand how, again, not just the kid, but like the family, agent, everybody. You're not wary. And I understand everybody out there, and it's a business, and it's like, you know, everybody is looking at different candidates for whatever, for coach, for quarterback. So that's fine. But still, like, you were going to you were gonna discard him. And I guess it's, do you, you must think that Lane Kiffin's coaching, other things about LSU, maybe the money's just so different, but like, if you're Tennessee, you can't let that happen, right? You can't let that happen. You can't let yourself be like way outbid by another SEC school with something this important.
Well, this is shaping up to be a pretty spectacular failure from Josh Heupel in Tennessee. I mean, and I understand that there are different factors involved in all this, and you know, money involved, and I get it. But clearly, they're trying to land a starting quarterback in the portal, right? I mean, they've had conversations with a lot of different quarterbacks at this point. If they were all in on Faison Brandon and George McIntyre being the, you know, battling it out for the starting quarterback spot next year, then I don't think you'd be talking about this. So clearly they're interested in a starting quarterback. And if it gets through the process, and Adam Sparks just came out with a piece on this too, of like, the options are pretty much gone at this point. Like, if you get through all this and you don't land one, to me, that's a pretty spectacular failure from Josh Heupel in a prove it off season. I'm sorry. It is. And look, they may end up lucking out anyway. Like, it's not like it's impossible for them to be targeting a quarterback in the transfer portal. You don't get him, and then voila, George McIntyre's really good in the fall. I mean, that can happen. But right now, I mean, this is shaping up to be darn near a disaster for Heupel at Tennessee.
Yeah, it's not good. Did Lagway sign? He's kind of bouncing around. There's Dampier from Utah. Is a guy who I think is talented, but I don't know. Everybody else out there just go with one of your young guys then. And again, it's good to strike out and be looking at a very promising redshirt freshman and one of the top prospects in the country as your two options. Like, it could be worse. You could have struck out and then be looking at very little in your QB room. But obviously, like you said, they have been very motivated to go out there and figure this out and get someone who can step right in and start. And you know, I guess we're going to possibly hear in spring ball, no. It was going to be a competition between these two, and we're very excited. And, you know, and so then it's just next year, critical year for Josh Heupel with a tremendously difficult schedule. Is going to become about how quickly can probably McIntyre, can McIntyre be ready? Or I guess is Faison Brandon able to, is he so good that it's like, okay, he's actually in this competition. Like, it's still an interesting / exciting QB situation, but the floor for next year drops, and you could see where it could go bad. And then what does that mean for Josh Heupel?
Well, I mean, right now, I mean, he's going to have to, Faison Brandon's going to have to be a part of the competition right now. Cause I mean, they got two scholarship quarterbacks.
Is it like McIntyre? Is there a clear gap? You know, you would think with a year that would be, or is Brandon so good that it's like, oh, he actually could get the job, or this could be a split thing early in the season and they both play. I don't know. I don't know how, as a true freshman, how quickly he can get there. It does seem like with this offense, especially with young quarterbacks,
right,
you know, obviously veterans come in like we just saw and can operate it, but a young quarterback coming right in and operating it, you know, it seems like Heupel's certainly resistant to that idea typically.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll be joined by Eric Kane from VolQuest coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the quarterback situation for Tennessee and the transfer portal as a whole. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking to Vols and the transfer portal, and to help us do that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Eric Kane to the program from VolQuest.com and the host of the Locked On Vols podcast. Eric, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, I mean, Eric, obviously, a lot of interest from Tennessee on the Sam Leavitt front last week, and then the Lane train and LSU sneaks in there and grabs him. So what do you make now of where Tennessee goes from here at quarterback with a lot of the options already gobbled up in the transfer portal? How big of a problem is this right now for Tennessee and for Josh Heupel?
Yeah, that's the $9 million question. That's how much Josh Heupel makes, and he's got to figure that out. You know, it's interesting. I mean, Tennessee always had a lot of interest in Sam Leavitt, and Tennessee, you know, hosted him. He extended his visit to the 48-hour allotment time for a visit, and you know, Tennessee did about as well as it could, made a competitive offer and all that, and, you know, came to Knoxville from LSU, left Knoxville to go to Miami. You know, Kiffin kind of stepped in there in between. Even after he committed to LSU on Monday morning, I mean, there were national reports that Tennessee was still in dialogue and Tennessee was still trying to swing there. Ultimately, he's going to go to LSU, and I do think that there were some members in his camp that preferred Tennessee over LSU, but at the end of the day, I think Leavitt wanted to be at LSU, and that's where he's going to be. He had Bo Prabula, who Tennessee brought in on a visit at the end of last week, the former Missouri quarterback, and then he left Tennessee, went to Virginia. I think Prabula would have liked to have been in Knoxville. I think Tennessee could have circled back around there yesterday afternoon. Maybe that could have made a difference, but I'm not sure about the fit there between Bo Prabula and Tennessee. But ultimately, those are the only two quarterbacks you brought in town. There's a dead period right now. You can have visitors back on campus on Thursday. The transfer portal closes to get in the portal on Friday into business day. So is there a player out there that has not jumped into the portal? Maybe. There's probably some other quarterbacks in the portal that obviously Tennessee scouted, Tennessee's looking at. And we'll just have to see what comes of that. I mean, end of the day, Tennessee's got to add a quarterback. Joey Aguilar certainly doesn't feel like there's much there that he's going to win his appeal and get another year of eligibility, so you can't count on that. Jake Merklinger is gone. Right now you just have Faison Brandon and, of course, George McIntyre. At the end of the day, you need a third body no matter what. So Tennessee's going to bring somebody in, but It's kind of almost hitting the reset of the quarterback position right now.
Yeah, I just it's hard for me to understand, Eric, why. And it's interesting, as you point out, that, you know, there's maybe some people in his camp that like Tennessee better. I guess, you know, the fact that you're at a basketball game with Lane Kiffin and then, like, Damon Williams is apparently going to be coming. And, you know, it's like, hey, you know, hey, Sam, go get some popcorn while I text with Damon Williams here. It's just hard for me to believe that he wants LSU after all that. But, I mean, let me ask you this. In terms of offer, from what you know, because it's hard for me to believe that Tennessee wouldn't be competitive with any offer, you know, in a situation like this. Is your understanding that those were comparable or that there was a big gap?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I sit in the room and I know all the numbers of the financials and everything, but no, I mean, I think it was very, very competitive. I, to my understanding, it was not Tennessee was just blown out of the water. It was not Tennessee wasn't in the same ballpark. I mean, I think Tennessee made a very competitive offer. I think Tennessee was all in, right? Mm-hmm. And, again, at the end of the day, I think LSU's offer could have been better, but also I just think that's where he wanted to be. So I don't think this is the case to where Tennessee just couldn't play in the big leagues or anything like that. I just think that, end of the day, despite, in my opinion, some people in his camp wanting to be in Knoxville, I think Sam Leavitt wanted to be in Baton Rouge.
So, Eric, just kind of reading the room here, because we know how important this offseason is for Heupel. I think he knows it. I mean, he made the move to fire Tim Banks. He brings in Jim Knowles. Like, it's clearly going to have to get better as they move forward here. And, you know, by the time next fall comes around, I mean, George McIntyre could step out there or Faison Brandon in camp, and they could look great. So, it may end up working out for Tennessee. But they've clearly tried to go land a pretty high-level starting quarterback in the transfer portal here. And if they just strike out on that and it ends up where you're having to play one of the young guys next year at quarterback and it just doesn't go all that well, I mean, how much of a disaster could this be for Josh Heupel in terms of striking out on the quarterback position in the transfer portal?
Yeah, I mean, it could be bad. I mean, we all know the schedule's very tough. You go, SEC's going to a 9-game schedule. We know the home slate where Tennessee welcomes in LSU. They have a couple of different – and Texas is coming to town. I mean, the schedule gets tougher, right? And I think it's a pivotal year for Josh Heupel. It was 8-4 this year, and you had an offense that was good enough to compete and go win any game. Your defense was not good, and, you know, it got kind of loud there towards the end. I mean, if you have another season like that or a season that's worse than that, I think for Josh Heupel, it gets really, really loud, right? So I think this is a pivotal year. And to your point, he's made the changes, went out there and you know, got a proven – experienced defensive coordinator. That defensive coordinator has surrounded himself with some coaches that he likes, that he's coached with in the past. They've gone out and gotten some impact players from Penn State that can come over and not only play, but, you know, kind of help jumpstart that defense in terms of communication and, you know, leading by example and all that. And I think they've added some impact players. So, you know, I think he's made some necessary moves here, but also on the quarterback front, yeah, you would love to have Sam Leavitt and all that, but I'm not going to sit here and say that everything's roses or anything, but goodness gracious, I mean, Joe Milton was a 3,000-yard guy here in Tennessee. You went out and got Joey Aguilar, who was at Appalachian State. I know he was at UCLA, but at Appalachian State, and he led the SEC in passing. I mean, I understand you got to be good at quarterback to win games. Josh Heupel's gotten the best out of pretty much every quarterback he's coached here at Tennessee, to be completely honest. So is there another guy? I'm not saying that there's Trinidad Chambliss all around or Joey Aguilar's all around, but could Tennessee find a guy like that at a lower level here before the transfer portal period, the cycle ends? We'll see what happens. And you bring that guy in to compete with Faison Brandon, who's, you know, top 10 overall player in this signing class, and George McIntyre, who's got a whole lot of talent, just see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, the schedule stuff, you're going to be unproven to quarterback, at least right now, so it's going to be a challenge regardless of who's playing quarterback for Tennessee.
Yeah, you led me right into what my question was going to be there, Eric, which is that exact point, you know, that Tennessee is all over the place last year looking for a quarterback. They settle on Aguilar. Look what he does. Trinidad Chambliss, yeah, just a throw-in backup from Ferris State, and he was, I think, one of the best players in college football this year for Ole Miss, mm-hmm, in basically the same offense. So, I guess if like you said, they could go. There's some FCS guys. They could go and find someone who can compete. It's obviously not going to be your slam dunk, this is the starter guy. But what – why can't McIntyre in year two succeed. I understand he probably needs to still put weight on. And then with Brandon, how, because again, it seems like veteran quarterbacks can come in, pick up this offense and go, but true freshman, a little bit different. Is it asking too much for him as a true freshman to grasp this, or do you foresee a scenario where he actually could get in there and compete to start?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he looks like when he gets on campus, certainly in spring ball. I mean, the intangibles are through the roof. He missed some time as a senior with an injury, but he came back towards the end of the season, and he was phenomenal in the playoffs as Grimley won another state title. So there's obviously a lot of potential there. I mean, everything you want in a quarterback that Josh Heupel wants is there. Now, he needs to get into a collegiate strength conditioning program. He needs to get used to the speed of the game, to making the right reads in the Josh Heupel offense, to seeing the defenses. I mean, there's a lot there. And just like with any player in particular, the more reps you get, the more comfortable and the better you see it. And, you know, George McIntyre is already a year ahead of Faison Brandon. So, you know, both those guys can get bigger. George McIntyre specifically can put on a little bit more weight. I think that conversation's a bit overblown, but at the end of the day, he does need to put on some weight, and we'll see what happens. I mean, George McIntyre is interesting. He came from a high school where he had – it's almost like the Jared Garantano route of high school. Like, he had a couple different head coaches, a couple different offenses, and he still put up some really good numbers and played some really, really good teams. And then found his way here at Tennessee, had a really good fall camp, and certainly just kind of spent the year watching Joey Aguilar and trying to get up to speed in that regard. So it'll be interesting. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to think that those two guys cannot compete to be the guy. But in this era of the transfer portal, when you can just go out and get a proven guy or a veteran, it just kind of makes the fan base feel a lot better about your options. And again, they're going to add somebody. It might be a lower level guy. It might be somebody that's not in the portal right now. They will add somebody. And ultimately, if it's not one of those sitting starting quarterbacks somewhere else, there's going to be a competition. And those two guys, those young guys, will have every opportunity to go out there and win that job.
Eric, last thing for you here. You mentioned the additions on defense coming from Penn State. How big a deal is the Chaz Coleman move specifically in your mind for Tennessee?
I think it's big. It's a guy that didn't play an awful lot as a freshman. I think he played like, you know, 8 or 9 games or whatever. Didn't have many stats, but the potential is just skyrocketed through the roof. He's number 3 in the On3 transfer portal rankings, a former highly rated prospect, and you know Jim knows all about him. He wanted him here, and that was one of Tennessee's primary targets when the portal opened, was beating out Ohio State for Chaz Coleman, and Tennessee did just that. Not only that, he reunites with his position coach, his defensive ends coach, and Andrew A.J. Jackson, who came over from Penn State with Jim Knowles, along with Rodney Gardner up front. And then you talk about the linebacker, Amari Campbell, who is one of the most productive players in the transfer portal. He's a leader. He knows the defense. Jim Knowles, I mean, William Inge is your linebacker's coach, but Jim Knowles is a linebacker's coach as well. There's familiarity there. And then you look at the back end with Anthony Poindexter, who came from Penn State, and you have Dwan Lane, who's a safety who knows the system. So starting with Chaz Coleman to Amari Campbell, the linebacker, to Dwan Lane, the safety, I'm not trying to overblow this, but I do think there's something there. Coming from the same system, being coached by the same guys, and they're going to play for Tennessee, and they can also help Tennessee's current players get up to speed. I think these were monster additions. Tennessee's not done. They need to add another defensive tackle. They need to add probably 2 to 3 more guys in the secondary. But outside of quarterback, I think Tennessee's done a really good job in this class.
Well, Eric, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Going to be interested to see how Tennessee closes it out here in the portal, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks so much.
Yep, Eric Kane, our guest here on the program from VolQuest.com and the Locked On Vols podcast as well. We will have the Rob rant coming up next. Joe, I do want to get some quick news to you. Jordan Schultz putting it out there that the Titans are interviewing former Giants head coach Brian Daboll for their head coaching job this Friday. So that is the first known head coaching interview for Brian Daboll in this cycle as well.
Interview them all. Interview them all, Titans.
So there you go. Add Daboll to the list. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Like I said, I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm going to be honest with you. You look like a succulent baby lamb.
Where's the discipline?
Yeah.
We need a hard ass in there.
Did you know you're my Wonderwall?
I mean, if you're going to have the Milky Pool, you need to be prepared for colder weather, right?
I would let them pee around the field.
And then you were very good with us and said a lot of nice comments.
Peter, I really appreciate how nice you are.
One half is cooking, and the other half is completely raw.
It is time for the Rob Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Heal from the inside out. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joe, I want to speak today about maybe, in my opinion, the hottest take I saw all weekend, okay? And this comes from former NFL quarterback, former USC great, Matt Leinart, who put it out there. Quote, "If Matthew Stafford wins another Super Bowl, I think it's time to start putting him in that top five quarterbacks of all time conversation," end quote. Now, obviously, that requires Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams to go win the Super Bowl here, which they very well may do. You know, before the year, I had the Rams and the Bills in the Super Bowl. Still alive. So we'll see how it goes coming down the stretch here. The Rams absolutely are capable of winning the Super Bowl here. And let me be clear. I think Matthew Stafford's a great player. I think Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer. So I have all the respect in the world for Matthew Stafford, the career that he's put forth, and the way that he's played. Top five quarterback of all time? And I understand that he's assuming another Super Bowl in this conversation. But let's just think about that for a second. I mean, Tom Brady's in there. Joe Montana's in there. I would assume that we would all agree that Peyton Manning's been a better quarterback in the NFL than Matthew Stafford has been. I mean, there's Patrick Mahomes, who's playing right now. There's guys like Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and Steve Young and John Elway and Dan Marino. I mean, we can keep going up and down the list. There's all sorts of guys that I would put ahead of Matthew Stafford in terms of what they've accomplished in the NFL. So, again, I feel like this is going to require me to, like, bash Matthew Stafford, and I don't want to. I like Matthew Stafford. I think Matthew Stafford's a great player. I think Matthew Stafford is and should be in the Hall of Fame one day. But if he wins another Super Bowl, am I going to think that Matt Stafford is a top five greatest quarterback to ever play the game? No, I think you're crazy. Like, I think it's insane to say that. So I want to congratulate Matt Leinart on the hottest take of the weekend. All due respect to Matthew Stafford, even if they go win another Super Bowl here, he ain't a top five quarterback to ever play the game. I'm sorry.
I mean, has anybody ever heard of Dan Fouts around here?
I mean, come on.
I mean, do I have to remind you? Now, that's just a wild – that's one of those – I do this sometimes, too. I think people do this where it's like, oh, you know, this has got to be a top – yeah, I mean, I'll do it like, you know, God, that might be – that's got to be a top 10 movie of all time for me. And then it's like, okay, list them. And it's like, okay, and I've got 27 – so what's
like
really
when you called Mason
10?
Rudolph top three backup and then we started to list them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's like, I mean, even like Stafford in like this year, you would definitely say so. I mean, he's an MVP.
Sure. Well,
I would say even in the last few years, could we at all time say he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league right now? Like when Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, like, that's kind of been your clear top four. I don't think he's always been the next guy, has he?
Not always. I mean, there have certainly been times where he has. But, yeah, not always.
So, top five of all time? Like, that's outrageously stupid.
I mean, again, like, I love Matthew Stafford. He's put together a great career. And, by the way, as you know, Joe, a lot of that includes, like, suffering through being the quarterback of the Detroit Lions. And I understand he had Calvin Johnson at the time. But, like, you know, being the quarterback of the Detroit Lions once upon a time was not an enviable task out there. But, yeah, I mean, no. by the time he's said and done, I mean, his numbers are going to be outrageous. I mean, he's already thrown for 64,000 yards. He's thrown for 423 touchdowns. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's a great player. But top five quarterback of all time if they win another Super Bowl? Like, I think we need to further eliminate people from just like saying stuff, like, you know, I'm just gonna say it and then I'm not gonna actually put any thought into it. I'm just gonna say it. Top five quarterback of all time. Like, no, he's not even close to a top five quarterback of all time. I'm sorry.
Is he top 25?
I mean, I have my doubts.
Go through it,
but he's probably in the neighborhood of it. Yeah. But, like, again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's Hall of Fame.
No, but, yeah. Oh, that's absolutely Hall. We had the hot argument after the Rams won it about does he now have a chance to be in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
There were some people on our station vehemently arguing against that idea. I think now we're probably, and especially like if he gets the MVP, if they make a run here, another run, I think he's getting to the point where it's going to be hard to keep him out, right?
Yeah, I mean, you tell me who you'd rather, like. I mean, again, we can go down this list, I think, pretty deep, but like all time, you taking Matt Stafford, you taking Drew Brees. You taking Matt Stafford, you taking Aaron Rodgers. You taking Matt Stafford, you taking John Elway. I mean, we can do that for a long time. I think.
Yeah, I mean, Brees, I guess, could be some of the people. Yeah, there's no question. Manning and all those guys. Absolutely. Elway, Marino. I might take Stafford over Joe Montana, but. Tom Brady, but no, just kidding. Like, here's a great one on the text line. He's still behind Jim Kelly. You know, that's a really interesting one. I think I would agree. I mean, Jim Kelly, you know, never won it, but he was a tremendous quarterback. I think top of the league quarterback with an offense that was kind of a little bit ahead of its time there in the you know, early 90s.
Yeah.
You know, you compare the numbers and. They're in Stafford's favor, but that's also football today versus then. It's just hard to compare the eras. But, yeah, I'd agree right there. Jim Kelly. I think if you really went through, again, are we – okay, so are we including, you know, Johnny Unitas and Otto Graham
yeah.
and Bart Starr? Okay, well then, yeah, he's nowhere near the top 25, in my opinion. If you really went through the list, I think he – might be a Casey Kasem top 40 quarterback.
Nice. Very nice. I mean, just, again, I feel like this is requiring me to bash Stafford, and I'm not trying to, but he's a really good Hall of Fame level player. And look, I understand, like, from a passing yardage standpoint, to that point, I would encourage people one day when you get a little bit of time, go through, like, the top 50 names. And just in terms of pure passing yards that people have put up in their career, you'll be stunned at some of the names you find on there that are recent just because of the way the game's played now. Like, Kirk Cousins is 19th in the history of the NFL in passing yards with 44,700 yards. Russell Wilson is 16th. Joe Flacco is 14th. Like, Andy Dalton is number 26. You want to know who's top 30 already in the history of the NFL in passing yards, Joe? Jared Goff at number 27. You know, Tannehill's 38th in the history of the league in passing yards. So it's just it's a different time when you're trying to compare. Like, if you're just going straight up passing yards, it's hard to do that in today's game with just how much more people throw the football.
Right. Yeah, you really have to be very careful, and those names should tell anybody, that's not how you can really want to make these comparisons. I mean, a lot of it is winning, but it's also producing within that time period. You know, you mentioned Goff, by the way, just to point out, what this year, let's see, what did he do this year? He threw for 4,500, 7-9 in attempt, 34 touchdowns, 8 picks, with a 105.5 rating, with a line that kind of sucked. So, you know, even Goff, and I'm not, like, I have a different view of Goff. Like, Stafford has gone the last few years to close to Hall of Fame lock. Goff's better than I thought he was a few years ago. I mean, absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, he's pretty freaking good. But yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of guys like that who, like, I would not expect Goff to be in the Hall of Fame, you know. Dak going to be in the Hall of Fame? I mean, probably
yeah,
not. But there's a lot of these guys who are going to have gaudy numbers when they retire.
Oh, and to be clear, like, Stafford is sixth in the history of the league in passing yards. That's an accomplishment, right? Like, you're 64,000 yards deep in your career. Only Rodgers, Favre, Manning, Brees, and Brady are ahead of him. So that's great. Like, there's something to be said for that. I'm not saying you just don't pay attention to it, but top five quarterback in the history of the game, I would love to, like, if the average fan ranked their quarterbacks, I'd love to know, like, where Stafford eventually ends up on the list and whether it's in the top 20.
Real fast, Texter does say top five arm talent question.
Probably now, that, yes.
I think then he's higher on the list.
I would say so, too. Let's quickly head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, what's going on, Robbie? Joe, you know you woke me up. I was listening to you. I knew you were going to take a dig at Joe Money. I felt it coming. Joe, you need to stop that, man. Quit disrespecting this man. Come on, Joe. We know Joe Money.
Was very good. He wasn't as good as Steve Young, but he was very good.
Oh, come on, Joe. Steve Young was a great athlete, Joe, but he wasn't better than Joe Money. What about all those games Steve Young choked in, Joe? He couldn't get past Dallas. It took forever to get past Dallas. Joe Money would have won those games and had more Super Bowls had he been playing at that time. So
Joe Money never played those Dallas great teams. He was in Kansas City not winning playoff games for the Chiefs at that time.
He couldn't help it, though. I know, but he couldn't. Well, look what he done with Kansas City, Joe. He damn near got him to a Super Bowl. I mean, Joe Money, look, behind Tom Brady, you got Joe Money, then Elway and those guys. Matt Stafford, I'd put him in the top 25. I really would, man. I mean, he's, you know, with or without another Super Bowl, I would put him in the top 25. But you're right. You got to think about guys like Dan Fouts. Dan Fouts was a tone setter, man. Dan Fouts was a beast, man. He was great. He was. Couldn't get to that Super Bowl, but I'm not going to take that away from him. I mean, he was a great all-time quarterback. But, Joe, you're going to have to respect that Joe Money now. You can't keep taking these digs, Joe. You know I'm going to call you when I hear about it. Yeah, I know it has, Joe. And every time you say something, I'm going to call in and call you on it. Every time. Because you know I listen to you. But, hey, Robbie, I know y'all had a meltdown the other night. I hate that, man. And even Ben Johnson disrespected Joe Guy.
He did.
Matt LaFleur. If I was Matt LaFleur, I'd have chased him off that field and fought him. He had to disrespect me like that. But I don't think firing him is going to get – he's a good coach, Robbie. But that was a heck of a meltdown. I wouldn't fire him. I know you want him out of there, Robbie. I don't know who you would bring in that's better.
I'd have you coach, Mark.
I'd
have you coach before LaFleur, I think.
Oh, yeah, just give me time to look over my Madden plays and let me script about 25 good plays, Robbie. I'll make that happen for you. But I wouldn't get rid of LaFleur, Robbie. He's a good coach, man. I'd give him at least one more year. I mean, now they're going to have to fix that defense. I think the defensive coordinator, Hapney, I think he's the one that let them down, man. And I know they got injuries, but, Robbie, they need a lot of help. Secondary is porous. Gary didn't have a great second half of the season, especially with Parsons being down. But I wouldn't fire that guy. But, Joe, stop taking digs at my boy now. You know how I feel about Uncle Joe Money now.
He pays me every month.
I'll see y'all later, man.
See you, Mark. Appreciate it. We'll continue the discussion on the Matt Stafford discourse here. Pretty wild on the text line. Also, we'll get back into the Titans head coaching search. What's going to happen with Mike Tomlin now that the Steelers are out? The latest on Harbaugh. The Titans are apparently interviewing Brian Daboll. We'll get into all of it. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No